Joel, are we recording?
I think so.
Sound?
Sound sounds good.
Recording. Cameras?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. We have our picture box ready to show pictures?
Yes.
All right, sounds like
I believe we can start now.
I don't like I believe so. Do you know what I mean?
That well, you makes don't want me... to take full accountability, you know?
Oh, so then when I said, you said...
I said, well, I said I believe.
I said I believed.
I didn't know for sure.
Roll the tape back. We can't roll it back because you didn't record. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it all just works out because you're in charge. Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
We're flying solo today.
I was going to say, are we going to talk about the elephant in the room?
Well, the lack of elephant.
Yeah.
There is usually an elephant in the room, and it's Coop.
Yeah.
And now that elephant is not in the room.
Not today.
Not today. But so it, again, if the sound of the frequency of a woman's voice doesn't please you, I understand. I feel the same way. This may not be the show for you, but I do have a man here to supervise and co-sign for me.
I'm here.
Joel.
Yep.
On the ones and twos and threes.
Yep. And fours.
And fours. So we're going to do it and we're going to have fun and you guys are going to love it.
Fuck yeah. We've done this before.
We've done this before.
Yeah.
How did people
we're
feel?
Fine. Favorite episode for a lot of people.
You think so? Who said that?
Girl in the Box was one.
Was that just you and me?
Yeah.
People loved that sick fucking episode, right?
I think so.
I think so.
My wife did.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask who was the one person that said they liked it. Your wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's either Ruben or your wife. And sometimes both. If we're lucky, we get both the approval.
Yeah. Two fans.
Two fans that are like, I liked that one. We do have a crazy one today. Insane. The only thing I'm going to say about it off the top, as kind of like a, not a spoiler, but just, you know, to let you know what we're getting into. It's about forgiveness.
Okay.
Right? It's about the thought of possible rehabilitation, that if someone does something horribly wrong at a certain stage in their life, are they able to fully rehabilitate, have that be completely in their past, right?
Mm.
Do we allow people to do that?
Do people change?
Do people really, really change?
Can people change? Or is that what we're going to find out?
That's what we're going to find out. And I have my thoughts.
Okay.
I have my thoughts. You guys are going to have your thoughts on like who really is at fault. How much accountability do you need to take for ignoring all signs? Right?
Oh, shit.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should get into it. Joel, you're going to be very confused, okay? I'm going to just let you know right off the bat. Lots of names, lots of relatives, lots of mom, and then the daughter, and the nephew, and then the other nephew, and the big property, and a bunch of, you know what I mean? There's going to be a lot of names swirling around. If you're confused at any time,
raise your hand.
Raise your hand, and I will call on you.
Okay. No.
If you're confused at any time, I'm guessing probably the audience is too, so go ahead and ask.
Okay. So same as usual.
Same as usual. Same as usual. And you're, again, you're the man supervising the woman doing the show, which
the
is
woman's
needed.
Woman's behavior. Yeah.
Yes, cannot do this alone by myself. So thank you. No, I've...
You can handle this. I shouldn't even be here.
Please. What would I... Bro, there's no way. I don't do that well.
Solo show?
I don't do like talking to nobody show. Do you know what I mean? Where there's some people that can, you know, look in the camera and
Have you tried it?
I would start asking the camera questions or something. No, it's not my thing. Some people, it's their thing. I need my buddy. I need my little buddy.
Thank God.
Long-time buddy.
Or else I wouldn't have a job.
Yes, and that is why you are here, because I don't like being alone. We are going to talk about the case today of Travis Lewis and Martha McKay.
Okay.
You'll see the connection. Don't start asking questions.
Standing by.
All right. So, and the other thing is I have to read the whole thing. And you guys know I don't do it well, huh? So, forgive me. On September 10th, 1996, in Horseshoe Lake, Arkansas,
yeah.
Police responded to reports of a fire at the prestigious Snowden House, located at the shore of the lake. First responders arrived at the scene and entered the home, where they found two partially burned bodies. The corpses belonged to 75-year-old Sally Snowden McKay, the owner of the property, and her 52-year-old nephew, Lee Baker, who was a well-known local musician. Okay, both victims had been shot to death before being set on fire.
Fuck.
So I guess Memphis is fairly close to where they are, and that's where he would like. So there's a big music scene. He was like a pretty big musician.
Okay.
In Memphis, right?
Who was Baker? Lee?
Baker, the nephew.
Okay.
Okay. People in the story so far, paragraph one, Joel. People in the story so far. You can put up the picture now of the older lady, Sally Snowden McKay. Here we go. Oh, sweetie pie. Everyone
She's
loved
a sweetheart.
Her. Everyone loved her. Sally Snowden McKay and the Snowden House, you can put a picture of that up.
Here's the house.
Is this property that's like very, I mean, how many, back in the day, how many slaves did they have? I mean, look at that. It is old school, southern plantation style. They have a bunch of property. They have a bunch of houses and, you know, maids' quarters and all these.
I'd be a slave there. It's nice.
Dude, so nice. Right?
Yeah.
Place to live?
Yeah. Nicer than my trailer.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically a slave now, right? So you're like, it'd be nice if it was in a house like that and not a trailer out back.
I like my trailer.
I know. You chose it.
I did.
You chose the life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? My
choice.
No one to blame. Right? That's good for this. You're really tying it into the theme.
Okay.
So the Snowden House, as we showed you a picture of, was a well-known landmark along the banks of Horseshoe Lake. It was built in 1919. Bunch of slaves. The home has been passed down from generation to generation of slave owners. I mean, come on, let's be real.
It was legal back then. Right?
I know. Isn't it a shame?
Cut that out.
Shame. I know. You are going to cut it out, though, right?
I'm so busy right now.
Yeah, I know. You've got so much on your plate. You may not be able to cut out all my racist stuff, which you usually do. So what people don't know is the stuff they hear is the mild stuff.
That's right, yeah.
That's
You're
right.
Super racist in real life.
Yeah, everyone knows that. No, you know I'm sexist, not racist. So it's been passed down generation to generation in the Snowden family. Eventually, the house transitioned from being a family home to being a bed and breakfast, as well as being rented out for events. The house's biggest claim to fame was when it was used as the setting for the 1994 film adaptation of the John Grisham novel, The Client. You know this?
No.
Can you find it?
I'll look that
up. I feel like I know somebody's in it, like a Sandra Bullock, a Matthew McConaughey, a... You know what I mean? Their little town.
What year was it?
1994. The Client. Maybe a Tom Cruise? I mean, something's coming to mind.
It's Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones and Susan Sarandon.
It's Susan Sarandon, yeah.
The client.
I'm trying to get the movie poster right now.
I mean, I don't want to go on a tangent, but a member Tommy Lee Jones?
There it is.
A member Tommy Lee Jones.
He's the best.
Oh, and Brad Renfro. My boyfriend. In my mind, 100%, I thought he was my boyfriend for a second.
That kid?
Brad Renfro?
I don't know who that is.
Sleepers?
Oh. I don't remember that movie very well.
Okay.
But I know the name.
All right. All right.
Did this movie do good with a name like The Client?
I think it did.
Okay.
You could check Box Office Blowjob or whatever it's called. Box.
It got a 6 out of 10 on IMDb.
It was a big movie. So anyways, Tommy Lee Jones is walking around and Susan Sarandon's walking around the Snowden estate during the filming.
Okay.
Right? So picture that too.
And that was before the...
Yes,
yeah, so
it was
94, got burned alive.
Yeah. So less than a year later from the John Grisham novel, it would become the setting for a real life crime thriller. Well, not less than a year. Because it was 1994, right?
Yeah.
So 2 years. As the owners of the house, the Snowdens, were well known in the community. This made the house a prime target for thieves. Investigators were able to quickly determine that the murders had been part of a botched burglary.
Oh, no.
They were burgling, dude.
I wasn't prepared for burglary.
I know. Now listen, you like to spring it on me anyways. A botched burglary attempt. The suspect had been interrupted by Sally during the robbery, resulting in her being fatally shot. When Lee Baker...
Did she die? Oh, fatal.
Yeah, so in the beginning of the story, Joel, I don't know if you remember, there were two corpses found.
They were shot first and then burned alive, yep. I remember.
Thank you. the suspect... had a botched burglary attempt. The suspect had been interrupted by Sally during the robbery, resulting in her being fatally shot. When Lee Baker, the nephew, musician... went to investigate the commotion, he was also shot and killed. The suspect then dragged the bodies outside and set them on fire in an attempt to destroy the evidence. Usually
Damn.
Works if there wasn't somebody to report it, right?
So they burned the bodies outside. I thought, in my mind, he
like
burned
the whole place
house.
Is on fire. Yeah. No, they responded to a fire, right? So somebody's calling, saying that there's a fire at the house.
Oh, a fire.
Not like the house is on fire.
I think there was a burglar cut.
Oh my gosh, this is a new one.
Yeah, that's the actor that plays burglar cut.
The actor that plays burglar cut. So what Joel usually does when I say burglary, which is a lot when you're doing a true crime show, he likes to put on screen a picture of burglar cut from
Willow.
And this one I haven't seen. It's like his headshot or something.
I guess, yeah.
Or like a press photo.
He's so nice in this picture.
Oh, doesn't he look nice? He could have done all number of things. Didn't have to be typecast as burglar cut, but you can't see him any other way.
No, and he crushed the role.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like when you're too good at something, that's all people are going to see you as. So when the nephew comes up on the commotion, then he's shot. Bodies get dragged outside. So police were able to quickly bring a suspect into custody using the tried and true technique known as blaming the crime on the nearest black teenager, okay? Uh-huh. And that used to really work in 1996.
Yep.
So Travis Lewis was a 16-year-old kind of troublemaker who lived on the large property with his mother, Gladys. So
I
they
have
also
a picture
had, like,
of him. Should I put it up?
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah, so this is him getting into custody. He's 16, very young.
Sweet boy.
Oh, sweet boy. Sweet, sweet boy. And so he lived on the property with his mom, Gladys. So
were
he was
they
a
slaves?
No, they rented.
Oh, okay.
So they rented a place, they paid rent. They didn't work there, but they like paid rent to live on the property. So he was arrested and brought in for questioning. During his interrogation, Travis denied any knowledge of the crime and agreed to take a polygraph test. By the way, don't ever do that. But he's 16. We don't know. 1996, we didn't know that you have to get a lawyer no matter what. Don't ever take a polygraph test. Don't talk to the cops. Sorry, cops. Just don't talk to them ever.
Yep.
So he agreed to take a polygraph test to prove his innocence. Travis was given, when he was given the polygraph test, he passed. And he was released due to lack of evidence.
Nice.
Then the police thought, you know what, fuck it. They arrested him again.
No.
Just to be safe. You know what I mean? He was the closest.
After passing the
polygraph. But they didn't have any other black teenagers around. And it had to be black. 1996. So during this second time in custody, Travis was given another polygraph test. And this time he failed. How funny.
Oh, weird.
How funny how those things work. Yeah. Never take a polygraph test. After further questioning and pressure, including he was presented with the evidence that the only person that would, he is someone that would know that Sally had a large sum of money at that time because the tenants, including his mother, had just paid her. Like that. Do you know what I mean? Had paid her rent. So he knows she's got this money in the house. So their evidence was kind of like, there's nobody else that would know that she has this, you know,
bag of money.
Big bag of money, except for you. So with the pressure and presenting that to him and the failed polygraph, Travis Lewis,
Does he get...
What? Oh, did he what?
They blame him for it? He gets charged with murdering them?
So they're having him in there. They really want a confession, right? The confession is the thing that seals the deal. He's not confessing, but he did plead guilty to the murder. He pleaded guilty to the murder of Sally McKay and Lee Baker. Although he was barely old enough to drive at the time, he was tried as an adult and found guilty of 2 counts of second-degree murder. The court sentenced him to 25 years in prison.
Right
End
now,
of story.
I don't think
All
he
right,
did it.
We're going to go.
Yeah.
What?
Right now, I don't think he did it. Like, it seems like if you pass the test...
The first time?
First time.
When you're the most nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the second time,
magically don't. Yeah.
So it's interesting because there's a lot of things that do point to him, but not real evidence.
Right.
Right? So normally this would be the end of the story. The case was solved, the murderer's behind bars, but not everyone was convinced that Travis Lewis was guilty, right? Joel is one of them.
I have a
He question. Believes in the justice. Oh, you have a question. Go ahead, Joel.
Since he was charged as an adult, when he's 16, does he have to go to adult prison?
Save big on your next project right now at Menards. Save time on your paint project with help from Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape. Use on walls, trim, glass, wood, or metal for clean removal and clean paint lines every time. Save big and get a 3-pack of Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape on sale now through September 22nd. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
You know what? Fuck. I feels like I should know that. There's been a couple people that have been tried as an adult.
Or they still go to juvie until they turn 18?
There must be some kind of... Someone else obviously will know better than me.
Because being a 16-year-old little boy going to a fucking prison...
Going to like
prison,
full-on adult male prison? That's not going to help
not
you out.
Good. That's not good.
Okay. Per the Texas Juvenile Justice Department, a juvenile is someone between the ages of 10 to 16. Texas is one of the only 4 states that automatically persecutes 17-year-olds as adults. So then...
So that's 17.
So
he was 16,
you're going...
Right?
So basically they're just... I don't know. Someone else is going to have to find...
I'll search a little bit right now.
Yeah.
See what and it's in Arkansas?
Uh-huh. So... There was one person besides Joel that was not really convinced of his guilt. One person in particular had no doubt in their mind that it was not him that murdered Sally McKay and Lee Baker. That person was Sally McKay's daughter, Martha McKay, which you can show a picture of her.
Martha?
Martha, she's holding a wine glass. She looks fun. And
there she is.
Yeah, she looks fun, you know. Normal Arkansas gal. Think right here, you know, she's about 50s.
Here's the wine.
Yeah, drinking a glass of wine. Normal. Everybody loves her.
Nice. Yeah, she seems nice to me.
She's very nice and forgiving, right? And really wanting to help.
Does she
die?
This
kid who she doesn't believe. No, we're getting into the story. That person was, so Martha McKay, Sally's daughter, was actually the only one in the family. So they've got a bunch of siblings and extended family, and no one believed, like everyone believed that Travis did it. But the one daughter, Martha, was like, no, I believe that he didn't do it. And so the details of the case just didn't add up in Martha's mind. Travis had been seen in the area around the time of the murders, but there was little physical evidence placing him at the scene. Lee Baker's house had also been broken into that day, leading Martha to believe that whoever had carried out the murders had inside knowledge about the family and their wealth. To Martha, it seemed like the crimes had been committed by someone close to the family, which Travis was not close to the family at all. Right?
Interesting.
Proximity, yeah. His mom, you know, rented whatever, but never talked to them. Like, not close enough to know.
They weren't homeboys.
Certain things. Yeah. They weren't homies.
So, according to Google, mm-hmm. it says that the judge makes the decision. It can either send them straight to adult prison or keep them in juvenile prison until they're 17, and then they go to...
Dang, but then you think about, okay, you think about him not going to adult jail, but then you think about a crazy, like, school shooter, murder, or whatever, going in with kids at juvie, right? So where do you send him? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think adults. I think you go, listen, dude, this is going to suck for you.
I mean, but if he's innocent... That really sucks.
True. Always, though. Always.
Yeah.
If you can imagine going to fucking prison when you didn't do something.
God. What a nightmare.
Holy fucking shit.
I think I'd kill myself.
If you had like 25 years of shit. Yeah, for sure. For sure. What's the point? What is the point? You get like a master's? So what?
For what?
Yeah. For what? What are you going to do with it? Yeah. So again, the details of the case just didn't kind of add up in Martha's mind. So she always was, again, the only person in the family that just didn't believe that he was guilty. As Travis served his prison sentence, Martha worked to prove his innocence.
Yeah.
During this time, Travis and Martha exchanged letters, laying the foundation for a long-lasting friendship.
Oh, I was hoping maybe something more.
Right? Oh, you're sorry, not like friendship.
Yeah, like some, you know, something like a romance builds, you know. He's going to be 18 soon.
I don't know if there was any of that behind the scenes, but all accounts, no. By all accounts, she just felt bad and she was connected and she wanted to help.
I'm with Martha right now.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, a long friendship, not what Joel wanted them to be, which is conjugal visits and fucking.
Making love.
I don't like that. Years passed, and the letters changed to phone calls, which in turn became face-to-face visits at the prison. After a while, Travis and Martha became friends.
Just friends.
In her mind, even if Travis was the one who killed her mother, like she wasn't sure, but she didn't know, and that's reasonable doubt, right? So... even if Travis was the one who killed her mother, the right thing to do was to forgive him.
Of course, it's a white woman that makes friends with the murderer of her mom.
Always.
Jesus
Always.
Christ.
We're dumb, dude. We're fucking dumb. Can I be real? So being so young, Travis was like a son to Martha. So he was a lot younger than her. She would give him advice and talk him through hard times. When she learned that Travis's real mother was in need of a job, Martha hired her as an employee at the Snowden house. So Gladys, the one who had paid rent to her mom, Sally. Now Martha has given her a job.
Okay.
At the house. Because she now, the house has been passed down to her.
And now
she has the big plantation.
Holy shit.
Slave quarters. So she gave, you know, she heard that she's just trying to help however she can. Martha hired her as an employee at the Snowden house, where she would continue to work for years to come. Martha may not have been successful in finding the evidence necessary to exonerate Travis, but she did find something that was even more valuable. Friendship.
Ugh.
God, Coop! This whole, he's just trying to make us fucking gay. And that's why I'm going to tell you why he's not here. He's trying to figure out how to come out of the closet.
Yeah.
And he just didn't feel comfortable.
So he wrote it.
He didn't feel comfortable doing it. So now he's going to make us do it for him. Just kidding.
He's at Electric Church right now.
Yeah. He doesn't have to come out of the closet, right?
We all know.
We all know. Something even more valuable.
Friendship.
I would have had him read that fucking line too.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Martha failed at her goal of proving that Travis was not the person responsible for the murder of her mother and cousin. For over two decades, Travis served a sentence for a crime Martha believed someone else had committed. After serving 23 years of his 25-year sentence, Travis was finally granted parole in 2018, having shown that he's
2018. Only, oh shit. 20, this is recent.
Isn't it? Doesn't it seem like it is?
Well, I guess that's...
It kind of is, yeah. No, you're right. Because people talk about 26...
That's 8 years ago. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know. It's recent. When I said 96, I thought, phew, this is a current crime. Nope.
90 years. Seems a long time ago, but anything after 2000, it checks my brain. It seems recent.
I know.
That's 20 years ago. Fuck.
Yeah, if it's like a case in 2010, I'm like, phew, that was last year.
Yeah. So he's out.
He's out. So on parole, which means he'd had many, many appeals that were denied, and they finally believed that he was totally rehabilitated and was, you know, model prisoner, whatever it may be, the parole criteria.
Yeah. Did they tell him to just take the guilty to get out sooner? Did he have a lawyer?
Did not have a lawyer. No.
So they... If he was innocent, you think they talked him into saying he was guilty?
It's not so much talking him into it, but when you're a 16-year-old black kid in an interrogation room and the investigators are basically telling you, like, we have evidence against you. You just failed the polygraph. That's it. Then you go, like, okay.
Fucking admit it. They scared him.
Or they told him, like, you may not get, you know.
If you say not guilty and we...
Then we have a trial and all of that. Yeah.
You'll stay in longer.
So he's granted parole in 2018. So now he's out.
How old is he now? Sorry.
At this point, he is 39.
Now they could fall in love.
Yeah. If he's into that.
Do they fall in love? New shirt.
You've never... A new shirt. Yeah, right. Everyone would be like, what? Because it only happened one time. Martha couldn't give Travis 23 years of his life back, but what she could give him was a fresh start.
Blowjob.
Travis.
I'm sorry, Jesse. I'm sorry.
You have been working long hours and you are out of your fucking mind.
He could have been a virgin. Well, not after being in prison, but before going to prison.
Hmm. Yeah. So she could give him... a fresh start. So Travis was only 16 when he went to prison, which meant he probably didn't have sex. No. Which meant he spent some of his most formative years behind bars. When he was finally free, he was a 39-year-old man with no experience living on his own. Upon his release, Martha stepped in and guided him through the trials and tribulations of living as a free man.
Wow.
Sweet. Right?
What an angel.
What an angel. And she was like, you know, this like Buddhist, like, you know, forgiving and very like everyone was just, they just loved
her.
Free spirit. She would just drink wine and You know, everything
not a
is...
worry in the world because she's rich.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One of those rich Buddhists that was like, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. You're all footloose and fancy
everything's
free.
Everything's great for you.
Everything's great.
Uh-huh. You don't believe in violence? Of course you don't.
Of course you don't. Why would you? Yeah, it's like your mom got murdered, and you get a shit ton of money and a fucking, yeah.
Murder's a good thing sometimes.
Listen, murder doesn't always have to be bad for everyone. So she helped him through the trials and tribulations of living as a free man. The first thing Travis needed was obviously a place to live. Luckily, Martha was willing to let him stay on her property. Again, huge. There's going to be some place for him to stay, which she had inherited after the murder of her mother, like I said, while they looked for something more permanent. So she's helping him through all of this.
Hey, come on. You can sleep with me in my bed until you find your own.
He's like, I'm good. She's like, come on.
Yeah.
Wine. Come on.
Always wanted to be with a black guy.
You owe me. Yeah.
You owe me.
So fucked up. Can
Time
you imagine?
To pay your rent.
Can you imagine the long game, dude?
Fuck.
So Martha was willing to let him stay on her property, which she had inherited, like I said. Next, he was going to need a job to support himself. Once again, Martha came to save the day, giving Travis a job, working alongside his mother at the Snowden house. So now he's working with his mom, Gladys, on the Snowden property. They're both getting paid by Martha. She's feeling like she's, you know, I would feel bad, too, if I felt like I put someone in jail for that long. That didn't do it. Like, you'd be like, how do I fucking repay you, right? So she feels like she's kind of making up for that.
Do they talk about it?
Like what?
Do you think they had, like, wine conversations together out
like,
on the porch?
Did you,
like,
did you so do what? It?
Yeah.
Like, just tell me.
Tell me, yeah.
You can tell me now. You know, wine, a little bit of wine. I'm a Buddhist. I'm cool with it. So he's working with his mom. All is right. Everyone's getting, you know, Martha feels good. She's doing the right thing. They're getting up on their feet. The end result was like something out of a made-for-TV movie. A convicted murderer working as an employee for the daughter of his alleged victim.
This is insane.
At the house where the murders took place 23 years earlier. I mean, if there was a documentary, again, made-for-TV movie, this would be like a Blind Side.
You don't have to answer. This is... I know that the story is continuing because
do you?
Something's going to happen. Is she like building up her own confidence to kill the guy that killed?
To get revenge?
To get revenge?
I don't know. Does he like confess? And then?
And then
you know
they
what I
fall
mean?
In love.
I don't. And then he gets the blowjob finally, right?
I'm getting nervous, to be honest.
Yeah, but like what a great scene, right? What a great scene.
That it's
all
beautiful.
This,
and it could end in a happy ending, but it's the wrong show
it's
for that.
It's not the end. It's not the end. So when a person is released from prison, there are two major hurdles they have to overcome to reintegrate back into society. The first hurdle is finding a home and a job. Unsurprisingly, people are hesitant to rent a room to someone that was convicted of a double homicide. So that's going to be a hurdle for you. He's got that. It's also understandable that businesses prefer not to hire employees that have been to prison for burglary.
Burglary.
Burgle cat.
Where is he?
Where is he?
There he is.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Handsome boy.
Martha had saved Travis from both of these pitfalls by giving him a place to stay and a job. So like, you did it, Martha. Like, you have helped, right? The second major hurdle facing people who have just been released from prison is recidivism. Recidivism, or reoffending, is when a person goes back to the life of crime after serving a prison sentence. According to a 2018 study, 68% of people released from prison go on to commit another crime within 3 years. This number goes up to 83% after 9 years.
Oh, shit.
Martha wasn't too worried about Travis going back to a life of crime. She knew he wasn't the one who killed her mother.
Oh, God.
So she's not even worried about going back to life of crime, like, right?
How long has it been since he's gotten out?
So...
3 years?
No, it's 2018. He's out. Probably 2019.
Okay.
Right?
So he's been living there for like a year-ish?
He actually ended up getting his own place.
Oh, okay.
Right? So they were. She let him stay with him so that he could find something more permanent. He did. He's still working for her with his mom, but they're both, but his mom and him in separate places have a place to live,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
With Martha's help, like I said, Travis was able to build a stable foundation for his life. He found an apartment and continued to support himself by working at the Snowden house with Martha and his mother. It appeared as though they were well on their way to a happy ending. Joel. Now, do we do that on this show?
No. No.
I know. And to your great disappointment, you would love. What if we just ended here?
They get married.
Wouldn't you just, right?
And have beautiful half-breeds together.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And it's all right in the world. Well, fuck you, Joel. Just kidding.
Someone of these three are going to die. It's just a matter of which one.
I don't. That's a really pessimistic way to think. Except for, it would be a happy ending, except for one little detail.
Oh, no.
The person responsible for the murders of Sally McKay and Lee Baker was still stalking the shores of Horseshoe Lake. So if Travis didn't do it, the real person that did it is still out there.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
So Martha's so concerned with helping out Travis, she never even thought of, like, you thought it was someone close to the family, you thought it's someone in this small town, like, who is it still then? Right? That's still around.
Dude, I didn't think that at all till right now.
Right? Right?
Oh, God.
And they were about to pay another visit to the Snowden house. Okay? Anyway, in March of 2020, police respond to an alarm. Who do you think it is? Someone not even after, a story?
It's one of the three. Right?
One of the three as far as like the mom.
Mom.
Martha. Travis.
Or Travis. Okay. It's got to be one of them.
Okay.
Maybe she killed him to get
and
the money.
And you don't know who?
Right now, I just switched to the mom. I think it's his mom.
That makes sense. Again, like, thanks,
if he's,
bitch.
If he's innocent.
Thanks, bitch, for the slave job. But you did put my kid, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Could be that.
But who's dead?
What?
Who just got, because we don't know who's dead now, right?
Nobody died yet, bro.
Oh, okay.
They're about to pay a visit. The person that committed the crime is still around, and they're about to pay a visit to the Snowden house. You with
okay,
me, bro?
Okay.
In March of 2020, police responded to an alarm that had been triggered at the Snowden house. Once at the scene, police entered the house and began searching for the person that had triggered the alarm. Mm-hmm. As they made their way upstairs, officers found a body wrapped in a blood-stained blanket. It was Martha McKay.
Oh, fuck.
She had been severely beaten and then stabbed to death in the same house where her mother had been murdered 23 years earlier. A cloth bag near her corpse contained cash and several valuables from the home. From the way the body and the duffel bag were positioned, it seemed that they had interrupted the culprit as they were attempting to escape.
Someone else?
So the police, it seems like the police had interrupted.
Oh, they got there while they were still packing up.
Yeah, because it was like a silent alarm that had triggered or pressed or whatever, and the person was still there.
Wow, the response time in Arkansas is pretty good.
Nothing going on. It looked like, so they did interrupt. It looked like it while they were attempting to escape. That was when they heard something rummaging around in a nearby room. The killer was still in the house.
No, shit.
When police searched the home, they found an upstairs window open, and they had looked out. When they looked out, they saw a masked man running away from the residence. The suspect stumbled to a nearby vehicle and fled the scene. The suspect didn't make it far from the scene of the crime before crashing his car near the shore of the lake, the Horseshoe Lake, and as officers closed in, the unidentified man ran into the water, attempted to swim away.
Does he can't swim?
He attempted to swim away, he went underwater, he never came back up.
There's an awful racist whoever joke it is about that. I'm not going to say it, though. Coop would have said it.
We would have left Coop. Yeah, I think because he's not here, what racist thing do you think Coop, just because we know him so well?
Black people can't swim.
Right. He would have said that.
Yeah.
Would he have elaborated? No. You know what I mean? He's more of a, like, he loves Hitler, right?
Yeah.
Loves Hitler. You know, when he got the tattoo of the Starship Troopers, I thought for sure he was going to get his hero.
Yeah. If the tattoo artist was white, he would have.
He would have done it. Yeah, for sure. But he was like, I can't. Yeah, he probably would have said something like, of course, right?
Yeah.
Of course he can't swim. And I think he would have left it there.
Of course he can't swim. That's what he
that's he was the, like, of yeah, yeah of course he can't
swim. Smart
way
to say it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As police began investigating the murder scene, divers were dispatched because they saw the suspect run away, jump into the lake, and not come back up. He had just gotten in a car crash. I don't know, whatever. He was trying to swim, but it just, he went down. He was struggling. Just, you know. Just,
all the weight of the money. It was, you know.
Yeah, it was almost just like, how do I?
What do I?
Yeah. As police began investigating, okay, so they called divers, right? So now they have to search the lake.
What the fuck?
They didn't see him come back up. Did he come up somewhere else under a tree? Was he able to hold his breath? We don't know.
Do they have pools in prison? Maybe he's fucking...
Oh, he learned.
Learned to swim real well. Got away.
Gosh, I don't think they have pools in prison, huh?
I haven't seen one.
That would be a real easy way to fucking kill some people. So, after a brief search, the waterlogged corpse of Travis Lewis was brought to shore.
Fuck.
For the second time in his life, he had been caught in the act of robbing the Snowden house. And for the second time in his life, he had murdered the witness. Travis killed a mother and a daughter in the same house, 23
That's
years apart.
Insane.
What the fuck? You're Buddhist? You're Buddhist.
Why?
Okay, dumb shit. I have my thoughts, but we're not done. Martha had been right when she suspected that the person responsible for her mother and cousin's murder had inside information about the family. Her mistake had been assuming that Travis didn't have that info. When Travis was still a teenager, he had been friends with the sons of Lee Baker. That was the nephew musician that had gotten killed with the older lady. This had given Travis a glimpse of the wealth that the family had. And on the day of the first murders, Travis had broken into the nephew's house. Remember, Martha was like, someone had broken into Lee's house. Maybe that person is responsible. Now, who's that?
It was him.
What a dumb shit.
Yeah.
Martha, put a picture of her up, please. I mean, God bless, but...
There she is.
Martha... Martha, I know people like you, Martha. I know people like you. I have people like you in my family. It's okay for someone to be rehabilitated and maybe change. It's also okay for you to not accept that.
Yeah.
You can be like, I don't accept. There is a possibility, so it's not my problem. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But...
innocent or not, the person even accused of doing that, you probably don't want that to be.
Hey,
any
something's
of your
going on, right? Yeah. You were doing some shit.
Someone else can help him.
You were doing some shit to get caught up in a tornado.
Yeah.
Right? On the day of the first murders, like I said, he had broken into Lee Baker's house looking for valuables to steal. The burglary hadn't been as lucrative as he hoped, so he set his sights on the Snowden house. So he's like, this guy, some dumb musician, he doesn't have shit. I'm going for the big house, right?
Right.
Tomorrow. So he set his sights on the Snowden house. Unfortunately for Sally and Lee, they had walked in on Travis before he could escape. So Travis murdered them both before stealing Sally's car, the older lady, which he crashed a short distance down the road from the house.
God.
That seems like evidence to me, huh?
So 23. He did the same thing twice?
After
he crashed that car too?
So even if he did do it, right? This lady. All right, so I do have another theory, but 23 years later, Travis made all the same mistakes again. He broke into the Snowden house in search of valuables. Martha walked in on him as he ransacked the house, so Travis beat her unconscious and stabbed her to death. He then stole Martha's car the same way he stole Sally's car, and he crashed a short distance down the road the same way he did with the old lady. This time, however, he attempted to flee by swimming across the lake and...
Never learned this.
We all could have told you that wasn't going to work, friend.
He didn't know how to drive. He didn't know how to swim. He didn't know how to live. He only knew how to kill.
He only knew how to, like...
He couldn't even burgle.
He couldn't even burgle. So he only knew how to, like, do shitty burglaries. What's up, burgle cut? And murder. Surprisingly... Oh, here we go. Here's Coop's line. Surprisingly... Travis wasn't a strong swimmer. Coop, there it is. We did it
we
for you.
We know him.
We know you. We did it for you a little earlier. But anyway, after paying his debt to society and being taken in by the daughter of his first victim, Travis returned to a life of crime. Martha McKay's empathy drove her to do what she believed to be the right thing. But in the process, she forgot a rule that our grandparents have been trying to teach us for years about these people. Coop! Wait, what do you mean, though, Coop? Coop?
Murderers.
Okay.
Yeah.
About these people. It doesn't matter how friendly or well-behaved or innocent they seem. You can never trust a person named Travis. Do you know what I mean? I think is what he means.
Yeah. Quick save there.
Coop. We all know what you mean, Coop. How fucking crazy is that?
That's insane. I was hoping it wasn't him.
I know. So was Martha, right?
Maybe the mom was involved in this and she's...
Okay. You're right. So here's another theory, is that he didn't do it. He didn't do the first one. He spent 23 years in jail.
Where's the mom on the second
murder? And it's the long game, right?
Yeah.
He comes back. He's like, uh-huh. We're going to be friends. Yeah, I'm
innocent. Wants revenge.
Maybe he didn't do the first one, but he did the second one. Right?
That makes sense.
Or.
How did he pass the test? Or, that's the thing. The lie detector test.
I know.
That's
crazy,
like,
right? Because they want you to fail. They will make it so you fail.
Yeah. Well, they sure did on the second one.
Mm-hmm. So exactly, why wouldn't they do that on the first one? Did they have other suspects they were kind of looking at, and then they just realized, we don't have any more? I don't know.
Where was the mom during the crime, both these murders? His mom. Travis's mom.
Because
what if she was kind of being like, hey, come get this money?
No, I mean, I think she was literally just like a super busy, like, single mom, honestly.
And she wasn't still living there? She wasn't living there at the time of the second murder.
No, she wasn't living there. She was working there.
Working there.
And she wasn't working there the first time. She was living and paying rent. You know what I mean?
Still.
I don't know.
It could be
exactly
a two-man
right.
team. That's what I'm saying.
It could be. But from all accounts, it sounds like the mom was kind of just like, hey, like, not even really wanting Martha to, you know, like, just kind of being like, leave it. I don't know.
As a
he
mom,
was a troublemaker before.
Wouldn't you know? Like, as a
I think
mom,
you'd know.
You'd be like, hey, I think he did it.
Yeah,
like,
and maybe she didn't know, but she was telling him, like, he was stealing shit. Like, he was, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He maybe didn't murder, but he was, like, a troublemaker, known in town to, like, do bad shit, a kid bad shit, stealing stuff, but, like, still not great.
No. And right? Why murder? Just, if you're stealing, that's not even that big of an offense. Just run away. And get caught for stealing.
I know. Whenever they're like, burglary gone bad, I'm just like, yeah, right, dude. Burgle cut gone bad. It's just that, to me, A, it never turns out to be the truth, right? And then B, exactly right. I don't buy it. There's thieves and murderers. I don't think that one is the same as the other. Usually.
Right.
And unless you're stealing something like a Hope diamond and you get caught and kill the security guard, what the fuck? Why would you murder instead of going to jail for stealing?
Stealing, yeah.
So that always...
It's weird.
It's never really true, by the way. Like, very, very rarely is someone like, this thing's where these husbands use a burglary gone bad. Very, very rarely is it that. In real life.
Right.
Where, like, someone's, again, stealing something, and the owner's there, oh, stab him to fucking death, bludgeon him. It's like, yeah. What? Why?
Right. It doesn't
Why?
Make
you got
sense.
A TV. Like an old Roku.
Yeah, just take the TV. And I got insurance.
Spend life in, yeah, just take the TV. And mostly people will be like, take it.
Yeah, dude, take
Don't
it.
Don't kill Here, me.
I'll carry this side.
I'll help you grab all the stuff. Like, it's fine. So it's fucking crazy, but there's a couple things that this, like I said, case kind of brought up for me. Is that where it's just like, again, I have people in my life. I have people that I've known, friends and stuff that, you know, think that if someone is rehabilitated or they're sober now or they're out of jail or whatever, like, you've got to forgive them and give them a chance. And the answer is you don't. It doesn't mean that they haven't changed. It doesn't mean right. that they can't apologize and go on living their lives and trying to make. And I don't, you know, I believe that sometimes it can totally happen that someone completely changes and turns it around. Right. But is also okay for you to
not let it be your fucking
not
problem.
Not let it be your problem and not bring it into your life. I love a block. I will cut out a motherfucker. If I feel like there is something in your tornado of life that I could get sucked into or my kids can get sucked into, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to give the mom a job. Oh, and then he's out of prison. I'm going to give him a job. He's going to live on my property. Jeez. Hey, man, that's too much. It's too close.
We have a rule that we don't make fun of the victims on this show. We try not to, but...
We try not to. And do we have that rule?
It's,
you
it's
have it.
It's more like a guideline than
you
an actual rule.
I have it. I don't have that rule, and
She's
I do it all the time.
You're an idiot, dude. Why yeah. did you do that?
And again, I said in the beginning, it's going to call into question, you know, accountability. And and what about your naivete or ignoring things or just not thinking things totally through, it doesn't make you deserving of being murdered, but everyone was warning her, like, dude, whatever you feel,
been, yeah.
whatever you feel, just don't. Even if you feel like he's innocent, there's innocent projects, like you could pass this on to have someone else figure this out.
Maybe she just needed that in her life. Like, if you don't yeah. take risks, you're not living, you know?
I don't think she had kids.
She needed she some liked, spice in her life.
I think she liked some wine, and she was a Buddhist. And by the way, ugh. And she had a bunch of money, and she had a bunch of property, and she was alone. And she just thought...
Yeah, you take the risk, you get the reward. You're dead.
You're dead.
I don't feel
dude.
Bad for her, and I kind of feel guilty for not feeling bad for her because, like, you kind of it's not that she deserved to die, but like,
no.
you had it coming.
She did not deserve to die 100%.
And she was helping someone, which
but we have to because what we are on this show is kind of
assholes,
honest about what we're thinking. We're not going to say the thing. You know, there are a lot of crime shows out there that do, like, we just, you know, they, like you said, they have some rules. We respect the victim and we don't like to talk about this. And, you know, we like to respect the case and, you know, people's involved. And we like to, you know, all of this. By the way, they're going to go right to an Applebee's ad after that. So fuck you. You're still making money, making money, big money off talking about other people's tragedy. And it's someone else's entertainment. So don't get all high and mighty about how you handle the case and how you talk about them. And you just want to make sure that the victim's not, you know, they were remembering the victim. I'm like,
human life is respected.
Yeah, right.
Nah.
Applebee's, 2-for-1 appetizers, right? So shut up. Shut up. You're all doing it for entertainment. Don't act like you're not. If you were donating all that money that you get from ads to Innocent Project or any kind of these and not making anything for yourself, then you can talk some shit about, This is how we don't like to go too much into the gore, and we don't like to. Okay, so I'm going to say that. That's
but they're not doing
off
that.
The bat.
They're not donating that money, that Applebee's
no,
money.
No, fuck no. They're rich as shit.
Yeah.
And they're just getting more and more ads because it's entertainment.
Yep.
So this idea that... Anyways, we all watch true crime for entertainment. Don't act like it's anything other than that. Okay, having said that, this fucking bitch, like, again, you're right, does not deserve it. We're not making fun of or blaming the victim, but... Boy, if there was one person that you probably shouldn't have on your property, right?
Living with you.
Whether he did it or not.
Yeah, if you really need to help him, get him an apartment in another state, you know, or give him send him into the military or something. I don't know. Or do
help
it
him, but don't give
anonymously
him...
so he doesn't know it's you and don't have him be a part
something,
of your life.
Something, yeah. Right.
If you need to do that.
Hire him a lawyer, Rich.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Rich, hire him a fucking lawyer. Hire him a lawyer. Get him an actual appeal. Get another trial. Find out he actually did it and move on with your life, right?
Yeah.
But this like kumbaya fucking like thing is insanity.
So he did it. How did he pass the test?
The first one,
the lie detector
I mean.
Test. So maybe he actually didn't.
Those again,
pass.
Those polygraph.
Yeah,
yeah, they're not accurate. They're it goes off. He was calm then. I don't know. He didn't think he was going to get caught then. He was 16.
Right.
16, narcissist, murderer, whatever. Like
pulled
he,
it off.
He know you don't have that fear at that age.
So the only mistake he made was not learning to drive first before he wanted
or
to
swim.
Get away in a car. Yeah.
Or not swim. Learning to drive or swim. So again, you know, it's okay to cut people out of your life that you feel like are going to bring some with their craziness. And we know a lot of people, like, we're dirtbags, right? We're dirtbags.
Yeah.
We hang out with dirtbags.
Yep.
If there's someone you feel like is bringing some something around too close.
Yeah.
It's okay to be like, no.
Yeah. They fade away.
Bye. Cut off, block, whatever. And even if you were wrong, Martha, it's better to be fucking wrong than dead. Right? It's better to be like, I wonder if I should have gotten him out of jail, gotten him a place to live, given him a job.
Obviously not.
Not like, I'd rather sit around with my wine, Buddhist wine, and be like, maybe I should have helped that kid. Instead of the alternative, Martha, right? And you were saying, you know, oh, did he have sex before he went in? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I'm sad about
it's
is
like,
that they
did
didn't
ever?
Have a...
Now I'm thinking, did he ever? But we know, as you said.
Well...
He's not a virgin.
Not after prison.
Not after prison.
So what happened to him in prison?
He's actually even more advanced than a lot of people, you know, on the outside. He, you know, he can prolapse probably, right? Not only. And he got a blowjob. He got a blowjob, right? Do they do blowjobs? Do they jerk each other
off?
Yeah,
it depends on who's the boss.
Who's the boss?
In jail, yeah. You're either, you know, you're the bitch or the boss.
Exactly. In life.
I thought you were going to say...
Oh, tell me.
He got prolapsed in prison.
Yeah.
He prolapsed her, you know, because of he's got a huge cock.
Yeah, no, I was not going to say that. And
that's what I was hoping.
I'm really disappointed that someone did. You know what I mean? Like, no, I wasn't going to say it because I would never want that to be said, right?
Yeah.
But hey, we got 3 prolapses so far.
Because he
and
got
we're
prolapsed.
Still going. Yeah, what?
Because he got prolapsed in prison, that's why he went back and murdered her for revenge.
Again, it's a possibility, man. It's a possibility that he didn't. And once you get prolapsed, revenge has to come next, right? And that long game, I mean, good for him, right? Good for
Did
him.
Did we say enough prolapses?
Yeah, I think one. Are we still recording? Because I thought that we have the camera set to when we say it, it just shuts off.
Shuts off. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Prolapse.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.